The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Friday's Man in Line. Open line today at lunchtime through till 1. Call 6613 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Or you can WhatsApp or message on 166 177. Well, the key issues likely to shape the debate ahead of this year's general election, alongside government spending, public sector headcount. The question of health and social care, and more importantly, who's going to pay for it and what's the budget for it, whether it features in candidates' manifestos or comes upon the doorstep. Healthcare is expected to be a recurring theme throughout the campaign. And if you can shed any light on it, then we'd really like to hear from you. Bearing in mind that the cost of drugs normally goes up, goes down sometimes, but normally goes up. The wages of the practitioners will always go up. Raw materials will normally go up, utilities and things like that. So it's going to go up and up and up. And obviously, we have an aging population on the Isle of Man. We have to deal with it. Any thoughts on that? And nobody's even mentioned a sister dying, which hasn't been given royal assent yet. And who's going to do that if and when it actually arrives here? Well, any thoughts on it? Text, email, call and WhatsApp, whatever it is you'd like to talk about. Regarding the election, it says, Jan, no mention of the waiting lists. When I was put on the cataract list in October 2024, the waiting time was 12 to 15 months. In December last year, it's now 2.5 years. I'm looking at April 2027. I understand the current average waiting time in the UK is 9 months. But obviously when we had the team that was brought over from Scotland, the waiting list shot down because they did everything they had to do and the money was there for it. But the cataract waiting list, 2.5 years, is that right? Is that affecting you? Housing is the by far the biggest issue on the Isle of Man. This is 404, just said, this is the big reason young people just don't stay on the Isle of Man, and also why young people are unhappy with their lot. It's relatively easy to solve. We just need to build more public sector housing and build first-time buyer houses that won't get snapped up by the private sector rental market. But although candidates were left in no doubt at the last election, they've done virtually nothing to resolve this. It is a vexed question, and the fact that there are relatively few organisations control an enormous amount of private sector rentals. Is it time to stop that? Is it time that you've never heard a politician say that needs to be stopped, or somebody can't own more than, I don't know, half a dozen houses, a dozen houses, and make a living, and a huge living off them as well. But it's something that causes young people an enormous amount of stress, because private sector rentals are big and form a large part of a lot of people's monthly budget. But what do you do about it? If you were a candidate, what would you say? Julian's with us now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Well, all right, thank you. Yes, it's Friday, which is great.
Yeah, I was just looking at that report earlier on that 44,000 properties without electricity from the snow yesterday and overnight.
Where's that?
Birmingham, Manchester area. It's like a huge load of snow that came down. It just makes you wonder, if we're going to decarbonise in our net zero world, if you've got no gas, no heating oil, no log burners and no coal, which I think the coal was the one that saved thousands of people in 1963 when they had that Siberian winter that went from, I think it was Boxing Day, all the way through to mid-February. if you've only got electricity and you've got ice pulling down lines and snow and stuff, it makes you wonder how people will manage when they haven't got, you know, like something readily available to hand to keep you warm.
Yeah, doesn't really affect us though, does it?
No, but it was only a few miles away. I mean, if it had just been a little bit different, we might have had something. I mean, some were saying there was feet of snow in some areas last night. But just mentioning a news item that was on Manx Radio yesterday morning, and also the headlines that were in The Guardian and The Daily Mail that caught my attention, saying that it may be necessary to stay for life on weight loss drugs like Ozempic, Mounjaro and Wegovy. The articles report on research from Oxford University that states that when Ozempic or Mounjaro is stopped, the resultant weight rebound gain is four times faster than people who are just controlling their diets and have already increased their exercise. But what's interesting is the latest guidelines from the UK's National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, known as NICE, suggest that patients should only be on Ozempic or Mounjaro for up to 2 years, but there's no prescription limit set for them. But what I also notice is that Ozempic's original clinical trials were only for 72 weeks before licensure. And it's becoming clear that there's quite a lot of side effects, including unusual gallstone disease, muscle loss, where for the amount of weight that you lose, 60% is fat and 40% in general is lean muscle. And this is leading to this expression called the Ozempic face, where people's, you know, the fat and the muscle in the face and things is starting to make them age much quicker. You've also got depression because of the way the chemicals work. It stops you from feeling that satiation from eating. Burst colon, sorry to have to say that one on the lunchtime. And even more worrying, several studies, including one by Julien Buzin at the Central University Hospital in Bordeaux, and he states that the chance of all-type thyroid cancer when using these types of drugs increases by 58%. And 78% increase in the chance of medullary thyroid cancer. And I just noticed with interest, I've downloaded the safety insert for Mounjaro and for Ozempic. So the Mounjaro has a black box warning, so you have a special warning with a black border around it. A quote from it: "It is unknown whether Mounjaro causes thyroid C-cell tumors, including medullary thyroid carcinoma in humans, as the human relevance of tirzepatide, which is the ingredient, induced rodent thyroid C-cell tumors has not been determined." The safety insert is almost exactly the same for Ozempic, except that they switch it with semaglutide, which is their ingredient for it. And I also noticed that statements from industry analysts, Visible Alpha and Blockbuster Status, they say that weight loss drugs are the most profitable products ever launched by the pharmaceutical industry. Mounjaro's parent company, Eli Lilly, raking in over $16 billion just from Mounjaro in 2024. Similarly, Ozempic, their parent company, Novo Nordisk, has raked in $22 billion just in 2024, and they're projecting that the revenues are going to go past $300 billion by 2033.
Who'd have thought it? Big Pharma makes money.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, this is serious amounts of money that they're
saying.
Anyway,
so what's behind all this, Julian? What point are you making?
Informed consent, I think. You know, basically, you've got the worry as well that people will continue to eat as they have, but they'll just eat less of it because, of course, it kind of basically bungs you up. The problem you have is there are several studies also that are showing that these drugs cause the thyroid to increase production of a hormone called calcitonin, which is supposed to control your blood sugar and your calcium levels. But when you massively increase that hormone, you end up with cancer cell proliferation. So, I don't know, it's there's this rush to go for these sort of the quick fix. But, you know, the trial was only 72 weeks. The NICE guidelines are saying don't use this for more than 2 years, yet you've got University of Oxford, the Daily Mail, and the Guardian saying that there's likely that you'll have to be on it for life. I also noticed that the lower age limit to be on this drug is 10 years old.
Wow.
So, I don't know. It's I think people need to take a step back, maybe just download the safety inserts, look at that black box warning.
Okay.
They don't know. They've never determined if this thyroid cancer thing is relevant, but okay. They've had it in rodent trials. So
okay, well, that's fine. All we need to make sure, make clear, of course, is that you aren't clinically qualified. You're not a medical practitioner, are you, Julian?
No, but Julian Bazin from the University Hospital in Bordeaux is, as is also another one from Beirut University Hospital.
Right. Okay.
So they seem to be a bit concerned with it. So I don't know, just for people to have a look at.
We appreciate it. All right, thanks. Have a good weekend now. And, of course, you have to take advice. If it's something that you're going to do, if you're going on the so-called fat jabs, you need to take clinical advice from people who know what they're talking about. And don't stay on them for too long. 2 years, maybe a year, is what. And of course, these drugs have been around for ages. Originally, they were for diabetes. It was only when the people who prescribed them for diabetes noticed that there was a side effect of weight loss. And consequently, Big Pharma does what Big Pharma does. And that is, when I say pharma, I'm talking about pharma, not F-A-R-M. Anyway, you knew that. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I've got type 2 diabetes, had it for a long time, and I don't take any weight jabs, I don't need to. I'm happy to be a fat individual. But the weight loss is a natural thing that when you get diabetes of a sense, because myself, I lost a lump of weight. A friend of mine is a big man. He was down, he must have been dropped a couple of stone. So the natural effect before you start taking these drugs of diabetes is a weight loss. And that is, I don't know how the clinicians work on it, but there must be a way there of looking at it and say, well, you shouldn't be losing that much weight. Why do we have to give you the drugs? And then, of course, they found the secondary thing. It's the same with their Viagra. That was to increase blood pressure in the arteries and veins, and they found another. But that's not what I come up for, but that was just backing up Julian. I heard you saying there just a few minutes ago about the DHS and the various aspects of the hospital, etc.
Yeah.
Well, last year, I had to have a medical procedure, a small operation. And I went, now this is no complaint against any of the medical staff. When I first went to my GP, she said, oh, I know what that is, blah, blah. Can I take a photograph? Yeah. Sent it away, and I've got all the paperwork here, and it does say urgent. So I eventually got into the hospital, and they turned around and said, yeah, blah, blah, but it's going to be a year to 18 months before we can do anything. But you can go private. And I had to go private. But this annoys me. I'm 82 now, and I've worked since I was 15, paid national insurance, and paid tax, and I'm still paying tax because of my company pension. But I was unable to get an operation within a reasonable term, speed to have this operation, and I had to go private to pay for it to be done. Now, how many other people have gone down that road? This is Manx Care operating, and I've got the two calling cards still. They're two business cards from Manx Care, and they're operating a private clinic system within the hospital, which is owned by the Manx people. Although they do say, and you hear the politics, the private wards are going to be opened shortly, but the private work is still being done. There used to be a private ward, I remember that, and it got in a semi-derelict condition. I know two people that were in, I was visiting them, and it was abysmal. But they have a system within the system to operate private clinicians. Now, as I say, I have absolutely no complaints against the doctors, the consultants, and the aftercare. It's been superb. But what annoys me is, for 60-odd years, I've been paying into the funds for the National Health here on the island, DHS, and I still have to go private to get an operation done that was deemed by a consultant in London as urgent, and that's the word that's on the bottom of the paper.
How does that make you feel, Howard, when you see the word urgent, and yet you've got to pay for it yourself?
Yep. Well, I was disappointed. I was annoyed. I was going to come on, but I thought, nah, leave it quiet, because what I had done has healed up. Hopefully, I've got a clean bill of health. But that is down to the skill of the consultant surgeon and the treatment afterwards. But that was all done in the Isle of Man government, Isle of Man taxpayers hospital, but being charged for on a private clinic. So where are Manx Care? What are they doing with this? Because they don't advertise it until you go in to have something done. And how many other people have gone down the same road? And it was the same, must be 20 years ago now, when Dentplan came in. It decimated the dentists on the island doing NHS work. I keep saying that, NHS. But we have one. He's an excellent dentist, and I've been with him for, well, since Dentplan. I refused to join it. But I have no qualms there, and we've actually got an appointment at the end of this month. But that's, you know, that's our choice. But because, as I say, 60-odd years I've been paying in to the government, which included Alec Allenson's extra 1%, 2% to ring fence for the hospitals, I still had to go private to get this operation done in a speedy term. And, you know, it's wrong that the people, as I say, they're going to now put in a system whereby if you just come onto the island, you haven't paid anything into it, they're talking about it, which is all they'll do, that they'll have to pay in so much before they can get the proper treatment.
Right.
Whereas the people on the island here who have been paying all their life, and as I say, I've been working since I was 15 years of age, and still having to go private. In fact, I had to bargain with them to get a reasonable price, which is a sad reflection on the hospital treatment on the island.
You had to bargain?
Yeah.
In what way?
The price that they quoted me. I said, I can't afford that. I'm a pensioner on a fixed income. And the price was dropped.
All right, Howard, we appreciate the story. Thanks for being with us today. Have a good weekend.
And you, take care.
All right, good to hear from you. 24 minutes past 12. Regarding health and social care on the Isle of Man and what's going to happen, I just wonder when people come knocking on your door later on this year, when the manifestos are coming through your door and they say, I'm so-and-so and I'm standing to be your MHK. What will you say regarding health and social care?
If I was to place a bet on what I think would be the top priority issue at the general election this year, it would definitely be healthcare. So as a survey of our listeners placed Manx Care and Nobles Hospital as the number one topic that they cared the most about. And it's easy to see why. From proposed strikes by healthcare professionals to a very public row between the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care over the communication of The island's health services seem to be perpetually under the spotlight. Indeed, the debate rattles on around budget time every year, with the key question, is the island's health and social care body overspending, or is it underfunded? The message from the Cannon administration has remained consistent for many months now, with the Chief Minister warning that healthcare spending on the island cannot continue to rise at its current pace without difficult choices being made elsewhere.
There has to be some financial control applied to our health system. The arguments about whether it is underfunded are not that they need to be looked at in the medium to longer term. But whatever the case, the department, the healthcare system, must operate to the budgets it is given.
Now, this year's electioneering from sitting members and ambitious candidates alike will undoubtedly focus on the Mersey Internal Audit Agency's report. Essentially, at the tail end of last year, that independent report found that the current health and social care model in the Isle of Man is not operating as originally intended following the establishment of Manx Care. The MIAA report was debated by Timwald back in December to mixed results. Members agreed to receive the report and voted for the DHSC to report back to next month's sitting of Timwald to debate with a full response and implementation plan. It remains to be seen what the DHSC will bring to Timwald in February and whether it will be successfully implemented before the general election.
That's Siobhan Fletcher from Manx Radio News taking a look at health and social care. Any thoughts on this? I got a message in from Priscilla who just said, underfunded or overspent. The trouble is, that just means politicians and civil servants are going to be arguing all the time. We are left in the middle. We don't care whether it's underfunded or whether they're overspending. We just need the treatment and we pay people a lot of money to sort it out. So next time, could they not argue about whether they're underfunded or overspent? Thank you, Priscilla. Beach Buddies has many more volunteers than they record, says Sue in Balaf. We were talking about the 20th anniversary of Beach Buddies yesterday. And when I walk on the beach, I collect rubbish because I know there's a Beach Buddies bin for me to put it in, says Sue in Balaf. Not just the people who turn up every Sunday morning, but people who put stuff into bins, authorised stuff into Beach Buddies bins as well. The government needs to reduce headcount, says Andrea. If you're making efficiencies, that is, unfortunately, inevitable. They need to deal with the poor performers. And regarding Manx Care, this is a bit of both. Too many managers, they've never been held to account over finances. Same with all departments, says Andrea. Well, of course, Andrea, we don't know what the inside story is. We don't know about when Manx Care pitches for funding, what the story is. You know, do they pitch for a certain amount, knowing full well that they're going to run out of money at a certain time and will come back again? Because, as Priscilla said, we just get caught in the middle. Whether Manx goes underfunded or overspending, well, that's for accountants and bean counters to sort out. We just want treatment. Housing is the biggest issue on the Isle of Man. This is the big reason young people don't stay on the Isle of Man, and young people are unhappy with their lot. So you mentioned housing being used for rental. Why not put an extra amount on the rates for a second house, say another 10%, also in rental properties owned by persons off the Isle of Man? The extra would help local authorities provide more housing. It's highly unlikely that anybody on the Isle of Man has a second house as a holiday home, so it makes sense to penalise multiple house owners, says correspondent 299. Will any politician actually say that when we come to the general election? That people with, let's just say, more than six houses should pay more rates on them because they're getting an income off them. It's a very legitimate way of earning money. And certainly when the bank rate was a lot lower, owning property was a very efficient way of making a profit. Bit different now. But the trouble is, again, you have people caught in the middle, people who are sanctioned with huge private sector rents that preclude them from saving to get onto the property market. And no wonder they feel a bit miffed about it. Hey, here's Robert now. Hello, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? I'm just on Douglas Promenade. How are you?
Well, terrific, thank you. I'm on Douglas Head.
Well, I can see you. Just about. Anyway, I was at Grier earlier and we had pasta and sausage, sliced sausage. Really nice. Andy was going on about Trump overload and stuff like that. So something's not right on the media, you know. Anyway, the reason I wanted to talk to you was, let me just catch my breath. The thing was, is that, you know, you used to have post boxes, and you used to get stamps out of post boxes over at the main depot for the post box.
Used to be able to, yes.
They still have that.
I don't think they do. I think you can even... they have machines where you can pay for postage at certain places. They've got one at Tesco, I think. Many other places as well.
Really?
Yeah, you just
go to Tesco, right? I'm headed to Tesco.
They print your own stamps right there. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I was thinking about investing in stamps.
Well, there we are.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, Robert. While talking about jobs within government, when the road sweeper is on the road cleaning, another DOI truck is sitting further up the road with its lights flashing to make drivers aware of the sweeper ahead. This is a waste of time and resources. A road sign would suffice to make drivers aware, says Marie.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Callers have been asking what's happening to the questionnaire about changing the payment of care fees to make it fairer. H, this is, 768. I put the question to the Health Minister before Christmas. She replied quickly and told me that 93% of respondents wanted change and that investigations into finance and implementation are being investigated. She gave more detail, but I can't fit them into a text. She said, we aim to have the necessary approval to go back to Tynwald in early 2026, so the debate on the next steps takes place during this administration. That's the current situation.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
This is Fran on 762. I wonder how many MHKs and MLCs own buy-to-let properties as a source of extra income. And if those that do, should that be a declared interest, as it could possibly may influence any future housing developments? It's not illegal, is it, to own a buy-to-let property? I don't know, Fran. Perhaps you know more than I.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Manx Solar Electrical offer wise solar and heating solutions for home and business. We're the Isle of Man's trusted experts in solar panels, Tesla battery storage and energy efficient heat pumps, helping you power your home sustainably and save money. Call 665800 or visit manxsolarelectrical.com.
Come to Manx Solar Electrical.
Our island's energy reimagined.
When you want the best.
Cannell's Agricultural Supplies have been serving the good folk of the north for over 30 years, supplying homegrown wheats, whole and rolled oats, working clothing, fencing, animal feeds, parts, tools and emergency supplies. Call Julia on 880206 or find Cannell's on Facebook.
Back pain, neck pain, scoliosis, headaches, joint pain. At Align for Life Spine and Posture Clinic, we've been helping Manx residents for 16 years with our holistic, evidence-based care and therapies. Plus, we're open after work and Saturdays, making it even easier to see us. Visit alignforlife.com or find us on Facebook for more information. Align for Life, 16 years serving the community of the Isle of Man.
At Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road, enjoy up to 70% off selected Christmas items. Brighten your season with unbeatable bargains. Open 7 days a week. For holiday cheer and great deals, there's only one Ramsey Garden Centre.
Make your New Year's resolutions stick. Come to Nicola Bowker & Co. for all your business support. From accounts and tax to payroll and startups. Nicola Bowker & Co. We can help you reach your goals in 2026.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3 p.m. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And thank you to, I recall, the Manx Care boss who said on your programme that waiting lists should not increase after Synaptic cleared them. Nobody is accountable for anything while MHKs make pointless noise, says Gaz. Synaptic did a great job. Everybody loves Synaptic. They did lots and lots of work with hip replacements and what have you, and the cataract service and what have you. But it seems that the waiting lists have gone up again. It's not just healthcare. I'll be asking about government efficiencies, says Andrea, their thoughts on accountability and what they see the role of an MHK or a minister actually being. Manx Care has a mandate to deliver. They should be given enough funding to do that. It's not enough, good enough for politicians to say live within the budget that they're given. That's a cop-out. Thank you, 057. However, when Manx Care was set up, it was supposed to identify savings. The Sir Jonathan Michaels report came out, and Manx Care was created as this arm's-length body that, if you like, got the delivery of health and social care away from politicians. So politicians weren't tempted to get involved in decisions that were being made. So now that's Manx Care's job, but they were supposed to save money. Now, whether or not they were sent off on a fool's errand by this, we don't know. We genuinely don't know what the inside story was, whether or not they said, well, we will deliver savings, and times have changed, and obviously COVID threw a spanner in the works as well. We don't really know, do we? And maybe this is a chance for a bit of a reset this year. It's wrong that people are having very lengthy delays on urgent cases. Why does the public accept this? Also, the UK, you get Mounjaro for free while we have to pay £300 a month over here, says that correspondent. That's 328. David's on with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. Just regarding your little programme this morning there about Tramway Terrace.
Yeah.
And the DOI minister is waiting for a report. How long does it take? There was a report done originally. You know, we're going back 2 years. She wasn't the minister at the time. It was Tim Krugel there. So the reports have all been done. And I'm just wondering, why is she asking for other things to be done? And why we haven't got a decision? Or she comes up with the figure. Is she keeping it away from us? So we're never going to get the horse trams done, because she's going to include that in the horse tram bill and then force Timmel to vote for it one way or the other.
So you think that they may include the renovation of Tramway Terrace in the horse tram figure?
Yes, which I think's a bit naughty, to tell you the truth. It's a separate issue. It's been lying there for 2 years. We bought that scaffolding. I hope she's not renting it. I really do. I'd love to write a question down or get one of the politicians to write in and just say to her. Well, she's on shortly. Anyway, she...
A week today she'll be on. Yes, Michelle Hayward will be on.
All right, I'll have to get in early then. Otherwise, there'll be a queued up for different things. But when you look at it there, Andy, as a simple person there, you look at a facility, they were going to drop it down, then they got bounced back on it. And it's been going on for two and a half years. The scaffolding's been up, I think, about 2 years anyway to it. Every time we come across the promenade, to get up Summer Hill, you have to do a little chicane, because they've got a couple of cones and some sandbags on one side there to make you miss the scaffolding.
Yeah. So what do you think should happen to Tramway Terrace?
I think it should have come down some time ago. Because you look at the way people develop now, the same thing's happening. I remember when Dandara... Do you remember the Crescent Leisure Cinema?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
And you remember that there was a big battle about that. They were going to go to apartments there. So the developer at the time said, well, OK, we'll put the facade on,
yeah,
and make it look like it. And has anybody ever whinged since that's been done? That's been,
no,
been
no.
Years.
And of course, yeah, a long time after it was a cinema, it was a big nightclub, wasn't it? It was the venue for ages and ages, but they did a great job with the facade.
But the other thing, you look at the things we need to keep for our heritage is You know, we haven't got piles and piles of money. And I can't even remember. That'll be a nice question for her when, if she's listening in. She must be listening in all the time because she comes back on certain things now. Is, well, how much money is in the kitty if you've got a listed building or a registered building there? How much incentives do you get back if you're going to try to maintain it?
Well, we'll find out. We can, we'll get to the bottom of this then next Friday when Michelle Haywood's on.
And I just wanted to mention, too, the Synaptic. I had my knee done a couple of years ago now. Great, fine. We brought this these team in. They did hips and they did knees at the time on a regular basis, three or four in the ward at the time. I met some nice people who I've never seen before, and I saw I hope all their hips and knees are working well. And they did. They went then on to do the eye surgery, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
Cataracts. And I mean, I don't know. It makes me wonder, really, why they don't have these efficiencies and they come in and say, buy the expertise, and within, 6 months, they're done.
Yeah. Oh, they did a fantastic job.
And especially with, and I'm going to sound really cruel here, the younger element, too. There must be loads of people who are younger, good providers for the future. If they were fixed up and pushed out, they're back into the system, aren't they? Earning a living.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Cheers now. 19 minutes before one. If you've driven along Douglas Primary over the past couple of years, you'll have noted the progress, the lack of it on the restoration of Tramway Terrace. Started in 2023. Government announced they were going to demolish Tramway Terrace at the bottom of Summer Hill. Two sets of experts advised the government to conclude that the list of building had come to the end of its life and was beyond repair. Well, people questioned and hit out at the plans and questioned whether government had actually followed the proper planning procedures. Sometime later, there was another report from a different expert who decided the building was actually structurally sound and could be repaired and brought back to life. A survey by the consulting civil and structural engineers, Man Williams, said there were some localised areas needing urgent work, but the building was repairable. Well, time has gone on and on and on. In 2024, there was a pre-festive boost offered by Tim Crookall in response to a Timwell question from the Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas, in 2004. He told the court a suitably qualified engineer was being sought to come up with a strategy for the restoration of Tramway Terrace. Well, time has just gone on and on and on. Nothing has really come. Well, hopefully we'll find out next Friday when Michelle Haywood on. Is 2026 the year that Tramway Terrace is going to rise like a phoenix from the ashes? Or will it just go? Or will they roll in the cost of Tramway Terrace to bringing back the horse trams? Muriel dropped a note in just to say you were talking about spuds the other day. And it's just a fanciful notion of mine, in that if we banned foreign spuds from the Isle of Man and grew our own, we could make a worldwide splash, great PR, and also Manx spuds are very nice. But it would save, wouldn't it, on our carbon footprint, food miles and stuff like that. Muriel just said, as a farmer's daughter, I can tell you nobody wants to pick spuds these days. They also don't want to pick tomatoes or strawberries. I'm trying to think, are there any pick-your-own anymore? There was a pick-your-own in Oncombe for ages, wasn't there? Pick-your-own strawberries, they were lovely. But that went a long time ago. Are there any pick-your-own sites anywhere on the Isle of Man at the moment? It's quite simple. This is 692. The government's generally not fit for purpose. They've been told many times by people far cleverer than them that the government and civil service is too big and it's untenable. It's the size of a UK county for the population of a small city. And until this is sorted, we're slipping down the slippery slope of being part of the UK and all that brings, says 692. Young people simply won't stay here because there are more homes. They'll look at higher taxes for poorer services, increased energy costs to pay for green policy, poor travel links to the UK, and a lack of entertainment and hospitality. They will leave. And the DOI minister said on your show she was waiting for the report to deal with the building and tramway together. She mentioned August 2026 before anything would happen. Conveniently, a month before the election. Yvette said, I think you should get rid of the horse trams. The horse trams are cruel, says Yvette. Do you have any evidence for that, Yvette? I don't know, that may be your opinion. And of course, we respect your opinion. But is that just your opinion, or do you know something that we don't?
Manx Petroleum is here for you this winter. For the family makers, for your hard workers, for the helping handers, we offer vouchers for heating oil and road fuel. So who do you know would welcome the gift of warmth and mobility this winter? For family, friends or employees, Manx Petroleum vouchers will see them through. Manx Petroleum, always here for you. Heating and road fuel vouchers are available now by calling 691 691.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
If you've got the gap, Tracy Bell has the implant. Tracy Bell Dental Clinics now offer the very latest in dental technology. Digital guided implants to replace loose or missing teeth, gaps, dentures, failing crowns and bridge work. Precise, predictable, perfect. Call the Tracy Bell Clinic on 613323 now to find out more. Dental implants from Tracy Bell, helping you to be better.
Big Red Storage in Tremode and Ronalds Way offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24/7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.in or call 640040.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Mother Nature scuppered their opening plans of 2026, and now FC Isle of Man will be aiming to finally kick off the new year this weekend. The Ravens host Bursko in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday, and the Manx side will be hoping to avenge a 5-0 defeat to their visitors earlier in the season. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Darren Timpson for FC Isle of Man versus Bursko, kicking off at 6 p.m. this Saturday. Manx Radio will be bringing you full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Well, look at that, 13 minutes now before one. John dropped a note in from 557. As several landlords are selling, the onus will naturally fall on government to rehouse. I'm glad to see the question being asked in Tynwald about corruption and illegal activities. For a long time now, departmental managers have only awarded works to favourites or friends instead of going out for tender. Pat, you need to give me a lot more detail on that. If you can give me some detail, Pat, I mean, not just allegations, but actual detail of things like that, that's a very serious thing to say. We won't have a single historic building left before long. Everything is in a dangerous condition, but when it's examined by an independent expert, is okay. Strange that a lot of our historic buildings have only been in a dangerous condition because they've been deliberately left to fall into disrepair. This is unacceptable. They're perfectly fine beforehand. 068, this is. More detail, 068. Thank you. And they've made decisions recently by not replacing staff who change jobs and bank staff. This is Manx Care. They need to review their own salaries. And what about those doctors? £450,000 seems excessive, says 659. According to who, 659? I mean, if that's the going rate for a consultant, these aren't just doctors. These are consultants who'll be pulling the best part of £500,000 a year, £10,000 a week, £2,000 a day. Now, whether or not that's the going rate, presumably Manx Care know, and these consultants are getting the going rate. I mean, it's, put it this way, it's way above most of our pay levels, but presumably these people are qualified to do it, and that's what we're paying for. Tramway Terrace renovation is now part of a DOI plan not to do the work by linking it to a budget requesting for reinstating the tram lines and requesting a huge unaffordable chunk of money that Tindall will then refuse, says Andy. The DOI problem is solved and puts two fingers up to those who want the horse trams back. Isn't that so? The minister is being led by her civil servants, says Andy. Well, we'll find out whether or not that's the strategy to link the renovation of Tramway Terrace to the reinstatement of the horse trams. And then the price will just go up and up and up, and it may just get kicked into the long grass before there's a new administration coming in September. Horse tram on the grassy verge next to the pavement. And how will zebra crossings work then? Does that people think that through, says Liz D. That's way down the list, Liz. Let's get the horse trams back. I mean, yes, that may present all sorts of problems, particularly the way some people park onto those where the horse trams are going to go. After making inquiries about the situation with regard to Tramway Terrace and the horse tram, says Carol, I had an email on Tuesday this week from the executive assistant of Dr. Haywood advising that the combined plan for the project has now been decoupled. The minister will be bringing the business case for the horse trams to Tindall before the end of this administration. This was supposed to be done in October, then move forward 6 to 8 weeks, now before September. It's a travesty. It's not going to happen, is it? Certainly not before this. Oh, I got a message in, and this was from, let me see, Ronnie, who just said, Manx Radio was talking about how football on the Isle of Man needed to be more joined up recently. Can you tell me more about that? Well, I can. Yes, the president of the Isle of Man FA believes there needs to be more joined up approach between the FA and the clubs if Manx football is to grow and improve in the year ahead. Now, the president of the FA is Tony Meppam, and Tony says the organisation is continuing to work on solutions to problems within the game on the Isle of Man. Two issues particularly stick out.
We've been working on the strategy of the Isle of Man FA and everything, and just looking at where the problems might be in football. And there's one that we've always had, Rob, and you'll have noticed it, is the lack of referees. And unfortunately, the end of 25 has proven a real problem, because we've got weekends now where we're struggling to get a referee on each game. Yeah, it's hard going, and the reason why, I don't know, maybe, you know, we keep saying that the players show a bit of disrespect in the games, but the referees have the cards to deal with that.
There have been plenty of talking points and some criticism towards the FA on certain things with regards to, you mentioned referees as well, recent debate around the development of the women and girls game as well. So crucially, where does the solution come from? If we're picking these two topics in particular, whilst there's plenty of comments that you know, work is ongoing, these problems seem to still be stacking up.
They do seem to be stacking up. Let's have a look at the women's game of football. We've lost our women's development officer, Jamie Lee Ferns, who did an absolutely incredible job. We've got two new teams back in, but we're always looking to, you know, increase it. We keep getting... I think a lot of the criticism we get is people asking questions that really we have no control over the answers. One being the age band. I don't know how many years I've been hearing it, Rob, about, you know, girls and women's football. Why can't 15-year-olds play in senior women's football with parental consent? I've done it personally since I've been president. Hammered the door down at the FA and just said, just let us do a pilot scheme, let us try. But we're on an island with a small number of people. And so let's face it, you look at that island squad now that Wayne has got, there are some talented people in there, and they're like 16, 17 years of age. So the talent's there, but they just haven't the delay for 1 year. And then suddenly 15 to 16, it all comes to a stop and we're losing people. And how come hockey can do it? How come netball can do it, but football can't? And I think it's a real, real problem for us to deal with that. And the English FA need to try and help us.
Well, we don't often talk about sport on Man in Line, but certainly those two issues regarding the women and the girls game of football on the Isle of Man. And Tony Meppam mentioned the lack of referees. No referee, no game. And we've heard many times about indiscipline, about bad language, about treatment of referees at games, not just from players, this is from spectators as well. So would you consider becoming a referee nowadays? Would you want to get that level of insult, invective, bad-mouthing from spectators as well as from players? If you have been a referee in the past, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are regarding getting more referees on the Isle of Man. Because if we don't have referees, there won't be any point in the teams turning up. Because it just won't happen. Referees, you need assistant referees or linesmen, lineswomen, whatever they call nowadays. But it is an absolute problem for the game. And one of the points that Tony made was allowing 15-year-old girls to play in adult female football teams. Any thoughts on that? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. Now, open line all next week until next Friday. A week today, Michelle Haywood is going to be on Man in Line. Michelle Haywood, the DOI minister, Russian MHK, will be on. And never want to shrink back from coming on Man in Line. So there'll be lots to talk about. It could be the airport and the snow and the ice. It could be the 20 miles per hour. It could be anything, really. DOI's role in the island life. It will be under scrutiny as we come into the election. It's the most varied of government departments. I mean, as well as bus vanning, the railways, the trams, the Liverpool landing stage, highway maintenance, recycling, the 20-mile-per-hour speed limit, horse trams, DOI's role actually touches all of our lives all the time.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
So any thoughts on this? I'm qualified, but in what is yet to be defined?
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
So the answer phone's on 682 631. Out of hours, you can email maninline@manxradio.com. Any subject you want to talk about, by all means, the open line is there for you. If there's a subject that you think we should be talking about, then please get in touch. You can either call live on the air or send in an email or on the answer phone. Program's just for you, by the way. So if we're not reflecting what you're thinking about or talking about, then do get in touch. So Michelle Haywood next Friday. Week after that, King William's College will be out on the outside broadcast, and the week after that at Ballacamine High School. Thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a great weekend.
W.I.